And it's time for our first interview as part of our Kildare Social Enterprises in association with County Kildare Leader Partnership. And on the line is Paula O'Connor, Service Coordinator with Kildare Small Jobs. Paula, good morning and good to talk to you.
Good morning, Owen. Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. Tell us a little bit about Kildare Small Jobs then, who you are and what you do.
Yeah, we're set up obviously as a social enterprise, Owen, with a view to carrying out small property and garden maintenance jobs for people over 65 in Kildare. So there was a need identified by some community groups and the likes of Older Voices Kildare and PLYCAP working with older people that there was a need for such a service. So we conducted a trial last summer and then we launched officially in September. So we aim to carry out small jobs that clients, you know, might have done previously in the past, or that would be too small to be able to get a tradesperson out to do at an affordable price.
Yeah, I remember speaking, I don't know if it was to yourself, Paula, or somebody else from Kildare Small Jobs about a year or two ago, and I thought this was just an absolutely brilliant idea because it works for both people, you know what I mean? The person who is getting the job done and also the one who is going to carry out the job, it's a very, very small fee. It's only a membership fee of €55 and that covers you for up to 5 call-outs and each call-out is an hour and a half and whatever jobs need to be done can be done in this kind of time slot. So what kind of jobs can be done here?
Exactly, Owen. And can I just say, we've unfortunately, with the hike in fuel costs and everything else, our subscription fee has actually gone up recently to 65, but all the other details are the same. So, I mean, it still works out as about €3.40 per labour hour, really. So it is still very, very affordable. We're doing the best to keep our prices down as much as we can for clients, obviously. Some of the examples of things we can do are like weeding, potting plants, sweeping a yard. We can mow a small lawn area, but I suppose it's important for people to realise we couldn't, you know, we're not in a position to offer a weekly gardening service. And we do all sorts of indoor jobs as well, which people might necessarily realise, like putting stuff up or taking stuff down out of the attic for them, maybe hanging a pair of curtains, fitting security chains or locks, putting up a shelf or changing batteries and alarms, and, you know, those kind of awkward kind of things.
Absolutely. Now, the people who are going to carry out these jobs, they're described as handy people. They're fully insured and they'll always carry photographic identification and will only ever arrive by appointment. Who are these people and how did they get involved?
Well, we're very lucky, Owen. Our staffing costs are actually funded under the Enterprise Skills Programme, which is a CE scheme funded by the Department of Social Protection. So we don't have any core funding for the service, but our staffing costs are covered that way. And our workers are, you know, we do go to great lengths to try and ensure that we have the right people on board. So they are very experienced in DIY and gardening. They're fully insured. Garda vet, as you say, and they do carry photo ID, but we also have uniforms and the van is fully logoed as well, so you can't mistake us.
Yeah, and I've seen the van out and about around the streets and towns of Kildare as well, and as you say, you can't miss it at all. It's a great idea for maybe people who used to be able to be out in the garden and doing the few bits or repairing fences or doing a bit of painting, but just maybe don't have the facilities to do anymore, not as mobile as they once used to be, and it's a very, very small fee to get somebody to come in and do these jobs.
Yeah, exactly. And we do bring the any equipment that's needed as well. Clients, we don't do painting and decorating as a rule, but we can let them paint a small gate or a windowsill or something like that. So the client in that case then would supply the paint and the paintbrushes. But we, you know, if we're putting up a shelf or mowing a lawn or something like that, we would bring all the equipment. So again, people might necessarily have either be able to do the job themselves or would necessarily have the equipment to do it. And it kind of takes pressure off family members and carers as well, who might, you know, kind of feel worried about the person trying to do things like this themselves, you know.
Yeah. How do people get in touch then if they want to get in contact and even just query about it? What's the best way to reach out?
We have a phone number and an email, so I can give you them. Our number is 086-0607-346 and our email is ksj@countyclarelp.ie.
Okay, so that phone number again is 086-0607-346. Now, if there's anybody listening that didn't manage to take it down or you didn't grab the pen in time, don't worry. We will give it out again. Or if you want to call us here in the studio, we can pass it on to you as well. The email address is ksj@countykildarelp.ie. And you're based there in Kildare Town, is it, Paula?
We're based in Kildare Town in the CKLP premises there on Meadow Road, but we do have clients throughout the county. We kind of started off focusing on Mason, British Kildare and the south areas of the county, but we are gradually expanding with demand. And I suppose, Owen, that's something important to mention, that the service is in huge demand, which is fantastic, but at the moment it does mean that there's a slight waiting list when people sign up initially before they would get their first job.
Right.
Now, in saying that, we are recruiting for more maintenance people at the moment as well, so hopefully that will ease ease that going forward.
I was just going to say that with the waiting list being so high, then you're probably looking for more people to come on board to do this work. And can they get in touch at the same number?
Yeah, exactly. And basically it will be, you know, we can talk to anyone who's interested, but it will be someone who will be eligible for a fees scheme, ideally. And if somebody isn't sure if they're eligible or not, they can certainly ring and inquire and we can find out for them.
Okay, super stuff. Just to recap then, Kildare Small Jobs, the aim of the KSJ is to provide a property maintenance service for small household jobs for people 65 and over living in the County Kildare area. A membership of €65 will cover you for up to 5 call-outs. Each call-out is an hour and a half, and whatever jobs need to be done can be done in this time slot. There is no charge to call out and assess a job. The householder will be required to provide all materials to do the job. Equipment to do the job will be provided by the service and labour for the job will be provided by the service as well. Jobs that can be done, small gardening jobs, weeding, cutting grass, potting plants, other small outdoor jobs, repairs to fences, small paint touch-ups or attaching locks, changing battery alarms, whatever the case is. Jobs they can't do, unfortunately, painting and decorating large areas, building, roofing, electrical, other contract type work or plumbing. And as we mentioned as well, all Kildare Small Job Service staff will carry photographic identification and will only ever arrive by appointment, and their handy people are fully insured. And to get in contact, the phone number is 086-0607-346. And Paula O'Connor is the service coordinator with Kildare Small Jobs. And thanks again to County Kildare Leader Partnership for facilitating the interview. Thanks, Paula.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre, Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Moving on now, and on Saturday afternoon just gone by, there was a protest in the town from the residents of Lakeside Park and some of the surrounding areas in Newbridge. They marched from the estate up towards the town hall in the centre of Newbridge. And on the line now is Tom MacDonald of the LHD Action Group. Good morning to you, Tom, again.
Good morning, Owen. How are you doing?
I'm good. So just to put this in context again, Tom, this is to do with the proposed modular homes that are to be installed in two estates here in Kildare, Beechgrove and Rathangan, but in particular in Lakeside Park in Newbridge. We've detailed the background story behind this on a number of occasions on the programme. The protest itself, what was the turnout like and what was the reaction?
We had over 200 people. We had 250 people at the basketball court area. And a lot of elderly people that couldn't walk down all the way down the town, they walked to the traffic lights and that. So we had a great turnout. It was We're expecting bigger numbers, as you know, we had to go door to door to speak to people, explain to them what's going on. But we were very happy with the turnout, yeah.
The last time we spoke, Tom, was at that public meeting a couple of weeks ago. You were unhappy at the lack of engagement from government officials regarding these modular homes. Have you heard anything since?
There's been a lack, there's been a lack of communication as regards who's taking responsibility for this. There was no explanation of who gave this site to the OPW. This has been a torture site, turmoil area, as regards sewerage and flooding for years and years and years. There's nobody putting up their hands here. There's nobody calling off things. They're creating a big problem for the residents here. They have the answers. They can put their hands up, but they're shirking responsibility. There's a shirk for responsibility from the government and the council. Nobody is everyone's saying, oh, this is not a suitable site. Oh, we agree with you, Tom, and we agree with the LHD, the protesters and all this. But there's no one man enough in either the council or in the government to say, we created this problem, we'll solve it. But it's very typical of what goes on in Newbridge. You have a town badly planned. You have no infrastructure, no schools. You have no doctor's places. You have nothing. You have roads. You can't go down the town on the weekends when everyone starts to shop. It's just turmoil down there. It should be a one-way system there where all the two cars go down the one way and it's a ring road around. But no, it's everyone's coming up and down. It's blocked the whole time. There's no thinking of what to do. We have a bridge out there over the Liffey. They won't go ahead with this. It's excuse after excuse. Hold up, hold up, hold up. Then they fire these modular units at a total waste to the taxpayers. Like, it's absolutely chronic what's going on. People, I'm in construction, and these units are costing. This is what it has to know. These units are costing in Lakeside Park to put them in. There's 34 prefabs. That's what they are. They're not homes. They're prefabs. And it's costing the taxpayer 11 million euro, right? I do a costing on that under three. That's what I would think that this should be costing.
All right. And Tom, I know that there's another protest taking place now this Saturday, is there?
Next Saturday at 1 o'clock, we have another protest, yes. And lots of people, more expected. We're expecting over 500 people to come on this protest, yeah. Yeah, big numbers.
And what would it take to stop that protest, I suppose? Is it engagement in the meantime, this week?
Yes, we need engagement. We don't want a protest. We need engagement from the people that are in power, the people that have the strength. Like, it's simple. Put up your hands. This site's wrong. We're not going ahead with this. But what they're doing, they're not man enough to just say this is wrong. They're not man enough. There's no one putting their hand up and saying this site is not suitable. We have flooding issues, sewerage issues, schools, doctors. We've pointed every issue. Like, these are the issues that the government and the council should be dealing with in Newbridge.
Okay.
Like, they should be pointing their monies towards that, sorting out the infrastructure in the town.
On that note, that is Tom MacDonald from the LHD Action Group in Newbridge. Tom, thanks for taking our call once again this morning.
Thank you. Yeah, bye-bye, Owen. Thank you.
Have your say now. Text or WhatsApp Kildare today on 0833 97 97 97.
Yeah, we'll be getting to some of the messages very, very shortly. Also still to come this hour, reflecting a great weekend for Ballyteague GAA and Strafford GAA. They were crowned intermediate and junior football champions respectively. We'll hear from the managers and some of the players as well. And we'll look back at the games with our reporter, Ger McNally. First of all, though, joined on the line now by Caroline Davis of Caroline's Breast Care, because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Good morning to you, Caroline.
Good morning, Owen. How are you?
I'm good. And I saw there a lot of people putting up on social media some of the funds that they're raising for breast cancer awareness, which I think is great. And the slogan this year is Care for Your Pair. And it's all about raising awareness, isn't it, over the month of October?
Absolutely. Yeah, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So it's kind of like an annual campaign to raise awareness on breast cancer. And what we're trying to do is really encourage everyone to check their breasts. And not just in October, but to make it part of their routine. to become familiar with what is normal for that individual, to talk to their friends, to family, and to remind them to do the same. So it's just basically what they're trying to do is there's different things that they should be looking out for, but it's also what is normal for them. So it's like if any changes at all to the breast. So they, if there was, say, a discharge in the nipple or a swelling in the armpit. So they're not just checking the breast, they're checking their armpit, they're checking their collarbone, if it has changed in size or in shape. And really, if there's any changes, what they should be doing is then just to contact their GP. And in most cases, it's not cancer, but they're not wasting anybody's time. Basically, they just need to go get any of these changes checked, just for peace of mind and that as well, you know.
Yeah, and I was speaking to John Wall on the programme of a couple of weeks ago. He lives in Clare and he has stage 4 terminal prostate cancer. And he was encouraging men to come forward and, you know, not be worried or feel there's a stigma with checking the testicles. And I suppose the same is applied here with women and checking their breasts. Now, in the I suppose the long-term view on this is that women are very good at coming forward and they do check and they go and get their regular screening and mammograms, etc. But it's just about encouraging people to not worry about wasting people's time, as you say.
No, absolutely not. And also then, you know, men can get breast cancer too, so we encourage them to be checking and seeing what's normal for them also. And just the other thing, I suppose, as well, is that we have the breast check register, so that people should check if they're on the register, if they're over 50. And they can just go on. It's very, very easy. They put in their PPS number, their date of birth, and it tells them. And they can get an appointment then with breast check as well. And for any of the ladies that have come over the age of 70, you know, and they missed it, say, during COVID, they are still being called, you know. So they're trying to get through and seeing all the people that were missed, say, in COVID as well. But they will be brought then for their mammogram.
Okay, now I know that this week there's a free mastectomy fitting at the Cushla Centre in Sallins. You have to register for that, I believe, Caroline, but this is something that you specialise in and focus on. Just explain it to us.
Yeah, I go to the Cushla Centre about once a month, and it's a mastectomy fitting for any of the ladies that would want to get a mastectomy fitting. So it is for anyone that has a medical card can get two bras every year and a prosthesis every 2 years. So if they're 6 weeks post-surgery, then they can contact the Cushla Centre. I'd look after them there. They'd see they'd be measured correctly, and we'll see what they actually require. You know, when they leave the hospital, they get a comfortable bra, and they get what's called a little soft kind of prosthesis, but it's not what they actually need for going forward long term. So they can come to the Cushla Centre. There's other services there for them as well. We have counselling, reflexology, and it's just a great new addition to Sallins and the Kildare area.
Because that's one of the things, and we were speaking before the programme this morning, Caroline, is that maybe some women, after they have surgery for breast cancer and they're released from hospital and, you know, they're post-surgery, they don't realise the supports that are there or, in fact, what they're entitled to.
No, they don't. They definitely don't. They're taking in a lot of information in the hospital, so they don't know, you know, but it's all coming at them so quickly. And then when they go home, they're a little bit lost. But there are these centres. There's cancer centres in most of the counties now, and they do great work. They do, you know, really, it's fantastic. They're there as a support. If they can't get, the nurses in the hospitals are busy when they've left the hospital. There's a nurse in there. There's a breast care nurse available to them in the Cushla Centre for any questions or any concerns that they have. So we're trying to make them feel that they're not alone. And then when we're going forward, we're trying to give them back as much of a normal lifestyle, be it with clothes, with how they look and their appearance, and giving them back their balance and their, you know, just that they feel good about themselves.
Yeah, that's an important point. And, yeah, you know, I know people who have had breast cancer, unfortunately, down through the years. And it takes a lot, or it can take a lot, of a woman's confidence away. And it's about bringing that back and making them feel good about themselves again.
Yeah, and I do say that all the time. I mean, I see these ladies from year to year, you know, because they're entitled to come back every year, get bras every year. And it's amazing to watch the confidence grow. you know, the first year they're there with scarves and they're covering up and different things, but the confidence grows every year, and that's what we're trying to get back to, you know. They then move on to better, you know, at the first stage they're having more comfortable bras, and we get that because they're still a bit sore. But going forward, they move forward like everybody else, and they get all the same type of things, sets and bras and nice swimwear and that, you know. So it's all available to them. It's just getting the word out there and letting people know that it is, you know, so they can contact the Cushla Centre, they can contact myself, you know, Caroline Bressner, and I'm happy to help. And if it's not the area that I cover, I'll tell them what area and who's looking after them in whatever county.
Okay, you know? So you're going to be in the Cushla Centre in Sallins. What day this week, Caroline?
I'm there tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning. Okay, so you can get in touch with the Cushla Centre in Sallins or in touch with Caroline as well. And I know that you go to Sallins once a month, but you also operate it yourself. So if people want to contact you directly, Caroline, what's the best way to do so?
Well, they can contact me on my Facebook, Caroline's Breast Care. Instagram's the same, or they can look it up there, or my website is carolinesbreastcare.ie. You know,
okay.
So they've got loads of options that they can do. Yeah.
Great stuff. So Caroline's Breast Care.
And there's home visits as well. If somebody can't get out, I'd like to say that just as well, that if they're, you know, a little bit, the mobility is restricting them, I can call to their home as well.
Okay.
And there is no extra charge or anything for that. You know?
Super stuff. That is Caroline Davis of Caroline's Breast Care. So again, you can check that out on Facebook or Instagram if you want to contact Caroline directly, or she'll be at the Cushla Centre in Sallins tomorrow. So get in contact with them in order to book in advance. Thanks indeed to Caroline for joining us on the programme this morning. Just want to let you know as well, go back to the Kildare Small Jobs interview that we did with Paula O'Connor as part of our County Kildare Leader Partnership Social Enterprise interviews. She wanted to mention that there are vouchers available for Kildare Small Jobs that would make a fantastic Christmas present if you want to get in touch with them on that. And also there is a supporters pack for €25, and that includes things like a mug, a drawstring bag, a high-vis jacket and various other goodies there. So €25 for that if you want to get in touch with them on those. Rose was in touch here with a message regarding the interview we did with Tom McDonnell, and she says, completely agree with Tom. Newbridge is a nightmare with traffic. It's a complete mess. Keep your messages coming in to us. After the break, we're going to have another little piece of music, and then we're looking back at the sporting action.
Sports Review Monday on Kildare Today.
Yeah, time now to take a look back at the weekend's sporting action, with particular emphasis on the junior and intermediate football championship finals. Joined on the line now by birthday boy Ger McNally. Morning to you, Ger.
Good morning, Owen. Yes, thanks very much.
A big roundy birthday, the big 5-0. Hard to believe you're 50 already, Ger.
Yeah, you look well for it, don't I?
No,
early
40s.
Working on my birthday here now as well, yeah, working on my birthday, that's not on. I'll have to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Listen, happy birthday to us from all of us. The weekend, what a weekend it was on the local sporting front. Two cracking games in the junior final, Strachan against Kill, the intermediate final, Ballyteague against Castle Dermot. We'll get to that one in a moment. Strachan, though, returning to the intermediate ranks with victory over Kill on Saturday. The scoreline looks a lot more convincing than it actually was, Ger.
Yeah, absolutely, Owen. Yeah, it really does. The goal right at the end there put a gloss on it. John Tracy rounding it off with a goal in the last minute to make it an 8-point win. But yeah, as you said, it was a much closer game than that final scoreline would suggest. And Kill, well, they're probably still kicking themselves because they had some really good goal chances, particularly in the first half. There was a spell there after about 20 minutes there. They had three really good goal chances in the space of about 20 minutes. Two of them were saved by the Strachan goalkeeper Matthew Duggan, and he was eventually awarded the man of the match. So you can certainly see how influential the Strachan goalkeeper was. But into the second half then, a big, big moment in the game was a magnificent goal by Rob Kelly, kick out from Kill goalkeeper Mike Jones, went straight to the former Kildare man, and he caught it around the 45-metre line. The goal was gaping, but it was a long, long way out, but he set the ball back, and it seemed to take an age before it got into the back of the net. But it was a wonderful finish, a wonderful goal by a player who's now into his mid-30s and he's still giving so much to his club. Rob Kelly, does a few fellas on that Strachan side who have played for the club for over 10 plus years and have had two or three junior medals now as well. Some of them involved there, and Kelly probably is the star, but all of them, of course, he was an excellent player for Kildare in his time as well. But that goal probably changed the course of the game from there on. Strafford were reasonably in charge of the match and then wrapped it up then with that goal. John Tracy getting it to bring his tally to one forward almost for the last attack of the game.
Yeah, you mentioned Rob Kelly there. Let's hear from the Strafford man speaking after the game.
You can't beat days like today, you know. You kind of, it's getting back to the club and kind of lads you've grown up with, and you know, it's day like today that just makes it all worthwhile. It's like 360. You go from whenever you start right away all the way full circle, you're back here. So no, it's great to win and get the club back up. We've got huge support here. You can see all the underage that we have coming through. Like, so this is really for them and to get them back up, you know. So, and the club is getting its feet as well. So, you know, it was a big day for us. We needed to win. A lot of us have been here, and you know, we've been in this position before. So, we had that slight bit of advantage. Not that we want to be back here, but you know, it's brilliant. You know, we probably deserve you back here where we were, but this is the making of our club and to start a club back up. But this is probably a bigger one because, as I said, the club, the where it's at, where it's grown, and you know, we've got so many volunteers in Strafford GA club that have pushed our club on so far, and you know, this is probably the best for me, you know, and I'm probably getting older and older, but you know, these younger lads we have coming through kind of give you that extra buzz to kind of keep going, like, so you know, I think there's a few more years left in me yet, you know.
Yeah, that's the Strafford player Rob Kelly after the win on Saturday afternoon against Kill. The Strafford manager is Paul Drewitt.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Look, it's Kill be ruined the chances probably they missed. Our keeper pulled off two or three really good saves as well to keep us in the game, and that gave us something to hold on to at half time, a little bit of breeze in the second half.
And just, I spoke actually to Rob as well, and he said what a big occasion it was for the club, but you can sense that by the kids that are here today, the colour that they've all brought, the noise, the atmosphere and everything else. Like, it's a huge occasion for the club, and when you win a county final like that, it's great for those kids for the future then as well.
Oh, massive. I didn't even realise there was that many people from Strafford. No, it's great. Look, and the second team won their championship as well, which is important. So like there's a lot of good footballers in Strafford and good young lads coming through, so it's great for the whole parish now, and I'd say they'll be celebrating maybe for a couple of nights. There's only 7 or 8 of the lads now that won in 14 or whatever the last time they won it, and there's a lot of lads here now didn't win it, so it's great for even them young lads, like even Tom there in midfield. He's only 18 years of age.
Yeah, Strafford manager Paul Drewitt speaking after their win against Kill on Saturday, and well done to Strafford on winning the Tom Cross Transport Junior Football Championship and returning to intermediate commiserations to Kill. On the same day in the Minor C Football Championship final, Oliver Plunkett's had a win against Confey, and they're an amalgamation of Ballymore Eustace and Two Mile House. On then to Sunday, Ger. Yesterday afternoon, the Al Shibeen Barathai Intermediate Football Championship final, and Ballyteague winning against Castledermot.
Yeah, what a game it was. At half time, as a neutral, you were kind of fearing that it was going to turn into a one sided procession for Ballyteague because they were so far ahead of Castledermot through that first 30 minutes. They led by 1-9 to 4 points at the half time break. And Jimmy Hyland, who I'll have to talk about more in depth in a few minutes, but he scored 7 points in that first half. And everything for Ballyteague was just clicking. They were moving so well, and Castledermot were distant second best. Seamus Hamilton scored a goal in the 28th minute as well, and with an 8-point lead, it looked only a matter of time before Ballyteague would go on and win the game by a sizeable margin. But full credit to Castledermot. It's probably not much of a consolation for them today, but their second half performance was absolutely superb. They turned that 8-point deficit around to actually lead going into the final 10 minutes. Gavin Keating in particular was superb. Emmett O'Keefe, Gavin Farrell, John Mahan, they really did well. Paddy Whelan came on at half time and had a big impact. David Keating also. It looked like they turned the game around and the momentum was going towards them. They led by 111 to 110 going into the last 10 minutes. But Jimmy Hyland kicked the free. Then Brian McGraw got a really, really important score in the 55th minute. Gavin Keating tied the game then again in the 68th minute. And we had 6 minutes of injury time and it really could have went either way at that stage of the game. Jimmy Hyland, though, he's so clever. He won a mark and he scored a point to push Castledermot one up. To put Ballyteague one up before then Fionn Murphy got the match sealing goal in the last minute of those six that were added on. And a first intermediate title for Ballyteague in 31 years. It's a huge, huge occasion for the club. But yeah, Jimmy Hyland, he was awarded the man of the match after the game. Without trying to make it a one-man thing, because obviously Ballyteague have put a huge effort in, not just this year, like there's a lot of those players have been building. Got so people talking about failure finals in 12 and 13 years ago to me after the game yesterday. So this is a win that has taken a long, long time to come to fruition. But Jimmy Hyland, you know, he is just a special player, a special person. and a really special talent that the Ballyteague club have. I suppose from a very, very young age, there would have been hopes that Jimmy would go on for Ballyteague and deliver this sort of performance and guidance to that first county title in so long. And given the opportunity yesterday, he scored 9 points. He was involved in both goals. He won a mark in the centre of the field later on in the game that actually led to the last goal, clinching a goal for Phil Murphy, who was another player who really did play well on the day. But yeah, Jimmy Hyland, he's a big game player. When the kind of stakes are at the highest, that's what Jimmy's at his best. And he was absolutely amazing for Ballyteague yesterday.
Let's hear then from the man himself, Jimmy Hyland.
I can't really believe it, to be honest. I suppose when I come back to Ballyteague at the start of the championship, we were staring Division 4 in the face. And to be intermediate champions, I don't know, I can't describe it. Straight up there for me, anyway. We had a great first half, but all signs were pointing towards Castledermot coming back. Like, if you go back through their championship today, they were 5 down against Leixlip with 10 minutes to go. They got a draw 2 weeks ago against Salins. They were 7 or 8 down. So Castledermot are their flying outfit, and we knew they were never going to go away. There was a slight breeze down the field as well, so I knew they were going to come back. When I first came on the Ballyteague scene, I don't know what it is, 6 or 7 years ago, we had a good team then, but I suppose the last few years were barren enough. We were getting to quarterfinals, but we just couldn't hop over that. And to be honest, there was a lot of doubts in my head whether we could ever jump over it. But look, it's on 31 years. If you go out to Ballyteague or Allen or wherever, the flags and that, it's amazing to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said at the start of the programme, I'm not sure if there's anybody really in Ballyteague that is listening in this morning, because the celebrations will be going on for a long, long time to come in the Leap Inn in Kilmeague and the Travellers Rest out there at the bridge at Lowtown as well. A couple of other messages just coming in to us. Father Tommy Hayden, he was tuned in to KFM in Malawi, and there's a photo, brilliant photo of Tommy Hayden in his Ballyteague jersey. He played with the club in the 70s, and he said that he listens to KFM and to Ballyteague no matter where he travels or how far he travels. So great image there. And I think, Ger, that kind of sums it up. I mean, it was a very emotional day in St. Conleth's Park yesterday. I was there, and you know, I've made no secret of it that my granddad, who passed away last November, Tony Herbert from Ballyteague, he would have absolutely loved to see Ballyteague win the intermediate final. But there were men there and women who were on that pitch in tears yesterday, and I'm thinking the likes of John Ivers. Great to see John to be there to see Ballyteague win this. Mick Gilligan as well out on the field. Frank Moran and some of the other great men of Ballyteague. It means a lot to the club.
Yeah. Some of those fellas you mentioned there, like John Ivers, Frank and Mick Gilligan, like they're some of the best club men you could get, and some of the staunchest club men you could find. It absolutely means a huge amount to them. And there's real family tradition throughout that Ballyteague side. We spoke to the manager, Mick Ennis, afterwards about that. And like Jimmy Hyland had mentioned him, his father was part of that 91 winning team. His uncle was a great player as well for Ballyteague for that team. And in the early 90s, there was a lovely bit in the programme as well about Glenn Thorpe, who was wearing the number 5 jersey, the wing back for Ballyteague. His grandfather wore the number 5 jersey way back in the 1973 at the media final as well. Seamus Hannifin, I mentioned, he got the goal. And his brother, Cahill, as well, came in at a crucial stage late in the game, and he had a big impact, and their father as well played for the team right throughout the 90s, and has been really an influential person in Kildare coming to Munster for the last couple of decades as well. So yeah, no, they're a real kind of traditional family club who have great traditional links way back to their 60s and 70s team and all that sort. So yeah, it's great to see a club like that finally get their day in the sun, because it's been a long, long time waiting. We mentioned that 91 side was the last time that they won an intermediate title. They went on actually to reach a couple of senior semi-finals after that in 93 and 95, and were really unlucky enough to win that 93 semi-final in particular against Sarsfields before losing in a replay. So yeah, they have a great tradition out there, and absolutely they should rightfully enjoy the celebrations. And you know, they're not finished this season now either, because they have a good rest before they play in the Leinster Championship on the first weekend of November. So they have plenty of time to celebrate this win, and plenty of time to turn their focus to that game. And because they're teams have traditionally done very well in the Leinster Intermediate Championship. There's always a very strong Kildare showing, because it's such a competitive championship, and that's driven by the likes of the runners-up Castledermot yesterday, the beaten semi-finalists Carra and Fallon, and other teams as well through the championship. It takes a very, very good team to come through the Kildare Intermediate Championship, and hopefully we'll see Ballyteague now kick on in Leinster as well this year later in the year.
Let's hear from the Ballyteague manager Mick Ennis.
Hasn't kind of sunk in just at the minute. We always had a belief that, you know, I mean, great battle inside, you know, and they worked hard all year. We came here, we got into a great lead, but we didn't forget what happened to Salins last week. And we said to the lads in the dressing room, this game isn't over. Won't take it for 1 minute. But at the back of my mind, they kept saying, no, they can't come back from that. They can't come back from that. And boys, today put the hair standing on the back of my head, the little bit that is there. You know what I mean? A full criticism. But look, we just got the rub of the green with the goal. I think it was a half-block ball and the ball ended up in the net. And we were four up. It was going to take two scores and the time was running out. And look at brilliant, brilliant. So delighted for the lads. The work to put in. 31 years in the making.
Real traditional club as well. Like, just looking at some of the past successful teams, like the names Highlands, Hanifins, Cork, they appeared right back to the 80s and 70s and all that, the successful era there. So it's a great tradition that all those families have in the club.
There's Jacobs on the panel. Obviously Highlands playing. Another Highland on the panel. The two Hanifins, son Seamus, you know, out there playing. Oh, very traditional club. Very traditional. Now, there is new blood coming in here and there. We had a couple of these young lads in Fela 12 years ago or 14 years ago. And we went to Fela in Galway. And they're still here. Celebrations now should go on for a few days anyway. Yeah, there'll be a few phone calls made in the morning. It won't be at work today. But
yeah, that's the Ballyteague manager Mick Ennis speaking after the win against Castledermot. And well done to the Larks once again. And commiserations to Castledermot. We're going to stay in the Ballyteague area though, because on the line now is Willow Warner. Good morning to you, Willow.
Morning.
Willow, of course, many listeners will remember during the 2 years of the COVID pandemic was on with us nearly once or twice a month with some poetry, some fantastic poetry. But Willow, the Nafina under 14 girls, they won the title yesterday or over the weekend against Two Mile House. Tell us more.
Yeah, so we won our Division 3 county final against Two Mile House. It was a really good match. It was close in the first half, but in the second half we just got a big lead and then we won in the end.
And you're the captain of the team, Willow?
Yep.
So it was after you were giving your speech, Donal Fitzpatrick, the LGFA PRO, got in touch with us and said, I recognise that voice from somewhere. And he said it was from KFM when she was on doing the poetry as well. So it's great to see you're still playing the football out with Nafina.
Yep.
There's so many clubs involved there, isn't there? There's Ballyteague and Alan Wood, and I'm not sure if Milltown are still involved there with Nafina. But this follows up then, obviously, the men's team. Were you over in St. Conlon's Park yesterday?
No, I couldn't go yesterday. We were away, but I heard they won and it was a really good win.
Yeah, the celebrations. I'm sure you weren't out at the Travellers' Rest now last night celebrating, Willow. No, you were in bed early. Good stuff.
No.
So, yeah, look, where do you train then? Down in Ballyteague?
Yeah, we train in Ballyteague, but sometimes we can train in Alan Wood.
Very good. And who's your managers?
Ian Milner, Emily, Danielle and Niamh.
Ian, Emily, Danielle and Niamh, all looking after the Nafina under 14 girls who won the county final over the weekend and just bringing more success to the Ballyteague area. Of course, Ballyteague winning the Reserve E Football Championship final against Carberry a couple of weeks ago as well. Are you still writing the poetry, Willow?
Yeah.
Do you have any poems for us or anything at the moment that you're working on or writing? What's the latest you've been doing?
Well, yeah, just working on any really. Just any time I can between football and school and everything.
And you're in secondary school now, are you?
Yeah.
First year or second year?
Second.
Second. How's that going? Where are you in school?
Ratangan.
Right. And how are you finding it?
Yeah, it's good. I like it.
It's mad to believe when we first spoke to you, I think you were in sixth class, or just finishing up sixth class around the COVID pandemic, and now you're gone into second year. It's mental. Listen, great to talk to you, Willow. Thanks for taking our call again. Keep writing the poetry, keep playing the football, and yeah, just highlighting the success out around the Ballyteague area. What a fantastic weekend it's been for the senior footballers and the Nafina under 14 girls as well, winning their title on the weekend as well. Thanks, Willow Warner.